In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, in addition to being the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, is the feast of St. Peter in chains. And it commemorates the time, which is related in the Acts of the Apostles, where Herod arrested St. Peter shortly after killing St. James the Greater. We just celebrated last week the feast of St. James the Greater, who is the apostle of Spain. But on his return from Spain, when he came back to Jerusalem, he was arrested and was thrown off the top of the temple. And because that pleased the Jews so much, Herod decided that he would also arrest and execute St. Peter. And so I will read to you the account in the Acts of the Apostles where St. Peter was released from prison by an angel. It says, "An angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the room. And he, striking Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, 'Gird thyself and put on thy sandals.' And he did so, and he said to him, 'Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me.' And going out, he followed him, and he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel. But he thought he saw a vision. And passing through the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which of itself opened to them. And going out, they passed on through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter, coming to himself, said, 'Now I know in very deed that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.'" Now the Herod here is Herod Agrippa, who is not Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the one that put to death the babies in Bethlehem. Herod Agrippa is the one that received our Lord from Pilate. Pilate sent Herod over to him, and if you recall the movie, The Passion, he was the one that was all dressed up and having a party. That's Herod Agrippa, and it's the same Herod that tried to put St. Peter to death. Now, there are a number of things to be learned from this story in the Acts of the Apostles. And the first is that there is a time of deliverance and there is a time of abandonment. And what I mean is this, that St. Peter, in this case, is delivered from his captors. And he is set free. But in a few decades later, in about 64 AD, he is going to be taken and put to death as if a common criminal. And God is not going to help him in any way and will not deliver him at all. And there are times when God delivers us from what ails us or what besets us, and at times he abandons us. The church historians say that it seems from time to time in the history of the church that God practically abandons the church. It seems as if he does. It happened in the history of Israel that God practically abandons them. It happened with our blessed Lord, where God abandoned him to his torturers. And there is a reason for it. Because we live to serve God. We live to glorify God. And when God wants us to live, he makes us live. So he made St. Peter live because he had to preach the gospel throughout the whole world and to Rome. But there is a time when we must also suffer. There is a time when we must die. And it was useful to God's purpose that St. Peter in Rome shed his blood
in order to give testimony to the gospel that he himself preached. It is easy to preach. It is easy to talk. But it is not easy to give up your life for God. It is not easy to shed your blood in testimony of the truth of what you have said. And there was a sentence upon each of the apostles to glorify God, to give testimony by the shedding of their blood to the truth of the gospel, and especially upon St. Peter. And therefore there was this time of abandonment to his persecutors, to those who would put him to death. God delivers us, therefore, for a reason, and that is to glorify him. God delivers us in many ways that we don't even think about. He has delivered you just by your birth from the horrors of living in the starvation of Africa. He has delivered you from the horrors of war in Iraq. He has delivered you from the starvation and poverty of India, where people live in lean-tos in the filth of the streets of Bombay. We don't know any of those things. And we are therefore delivered and protected. And we should be thankful for it. And God delivers us from many, many evils which could befall us, and we should be thankful to him. But we must remember also that the punishment for original sin is suffering and death in this life. And although God has redeemed us by his blood, we must suffer and die in this life. Most of what you do every day is to keep suffering and death outside of your house. You go out and work. You feed yourself. You keep yourself warm. And that is so that you do not die, that you do not get sick, that you do not experience poverty and all that it brings. That is why you do that, because suffering is the daily lot of the human race since original sin. Man was told that he had to go out and work the field, and that the earth would not cooperate. It would produce thistles, weeds. He had to fight for his daily bread. And so that's what you do. You must keep suffering away from you, because suffering is the daily lot. And although we spend our whole lives keeping suffering away from us, what happens at the end? The building collapses. That is, we all die. They shut the coffin upon us. We have lost the battle of suffering. We die. And that's the effect of original sin. That is why the priest wears black vestments for the Requiem Mass. And so it must be in your mind a certain resignation to suffering. But because our Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, he has made the suffering, which is the result of original sin, meritorious, provided you are in the state of sanctifying grace. You unite your sufferings with his. That is why the central act of worship is the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, his passion and death. And that is why the cross is always in front of your eyes, because of the fact that suffering is the sentence upon the human race. And what animates the world and the worldlings is an attempt to make their paradise here and in some way to avoid the suffering which is the effect of sin, original sin and actual sin. And so at times God abandons us to that, but He abandons us to it for our purification, for the remission of our sins, for the working off of time in purgatory. Every single suffering that we do in this life is able to be meritorious, is able to have value. By the fact that He died on the cross, it is, in a way, putting money in your hands. Your suffering is now valuable for eternal salvation, to prove your love of God. And so there is a time of deliverance, but there is also a time of suffering. And St. Peter had his time of deliverance in order that he serve God, and then he had his time of suffering in order that he please God, in order that he give his final act of sacrifice and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that we notice in this story is that the church prayed assiduously for St. Peter when he was in chains. And question, do we pray with the same fervor for the church today that has so many problems as the early Catholics did for the release of St. Peter? They knew that if St. Peter were put to death, that would be a tremendous blow to the church. And they prayed, it says in the Acts of the Apostles, without ceasing. Non-stop they prayed for the deliverance of St. Peter, understanding how important St. Peter was to them and to the church, their eternal salvation. Do we pray with the same fervor? And I think not. I'll give you an example. What were you doing on Friday night? On Friday night, there's devotions. We bring out the Blessed Sacrament. We place them on the altar for everyone to see. What better hour, or what better time is spent than 1 hour with the Blessed Sacrament? If you took 1 hour of your week, how could you spend it better than in front of the Blessed Sacrament, reciting the most magnificent prayers of adoration and beautiful hymns of Catholic tradition, praising Him, doing nothing else but praising Him, because He is God and He is with us? How did you spend that hour on Friday night? And it's not to say that it's obligatory or you sinned by not coming, but do you see the fervor of the early Catholics in understanding that we must pray for the church, that the church is our most important possession in this life, our religion, and we must pray? Look at how they understand the importance of eternal salvation, their faith, their religion. This is what is missing today, because we are so distracted by the world, so distracted by the television set or the news, what is going on, and so forth. And the other thing that we should learn from this story of St. Peter in chains is the primacy of the Roman Pontiff. This is one of the many incidents in the Gospel and in the Acts of the Apostles where we see the primacy of St. Peter. When St. James was thrown off the top of the temple, they didn't pray assiduously. Now that was a great evil and a great blow to the church. But we see that when St. Peter is caught, when he will be put to death, then they pray without ceasing. And it is one more indication of the ancient primacy of St. Peter. So in summary, we should be, first of all, submissive to the will and the plan of divine providence about whether or not you will be delivered from your suffering. Deliverance is for a reason, to serve God better. Suffering is for a reason, to serve God and to praise God in your suffering. It is all for a reason. God loves us more than we love ourselves. He has a plan for each of our souls, how they will get to heaven. And we must be submitted to that plan. Secondly, we should pray assiduously for whatever you want, but especially for the church and for the clergy, for all of those who work for the salvation of souls. And thirdly, have a devotion and a submission to the authority of St. Peter and of his legitimate successors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.